Last night, after dinner, Allison was driving me around, and I was pointing out some of the locations of pain, grief, and longing which Tucson represents to me, many of which are now demolished. Great loss. And we were talking about places that aren't here anymore, and I said, well, you know, one place I remember so vividly that I'm sure can no longer exist is the Valley of the Moon. Now, who knows what the, you know what the Valley of the Moon is? Yeah, a lot of you know what the Valley of the Moon is. I don't know how to explain what it is. It's a sort of work of eccentric art that was built by this man in the 20s and 30s. He made a kind of grottos, assemblage out of cement and broken china and pieces of metal and all this stuff, and he began to give tours of it. It was like a sort of fairyland park. And he had trained bunnies that performed at the Bunnyland Theater. I first encountered this place when I was 16. I was a volunteer in Head Start, and we took the kids on a field trip to the Valley of the Moon. And it was extraordinary. I've never forgotten it. And I was sure that this was long since gone. So Allison and I stopped at Circle K, looked in the phone book, and sure enough, the Valley of the Moon is in the phone book. We drove to the Valley of the Moon, and it was open. The old man is long since dead, but a group of people have gotten together and preserved it and are running tours. They're open now for Halloween. Allison and I were sitting talking about, we're having this conversation about, as soon as we walked in, about loss and loneliness. And this figure strode up to us and said, "Mortal pilgrims, I am Puss in Boots." and took us on a tour. Amazing. So I figured this meant that God wanted me to read this poem, which is called The Garden of the Moon. It's an older poem. The Garden of the Moon. The school bus rattled around more turns in the desert road than I'd ever be able to trace again. The summer I worked in Head Start, and the lead teacher arranged a field trip from the barrio to the Valley of the Moon. We parked at a high ramshackle fence, straddling a swatch of creosote and mesquite. There was nothing to the old man swinging open the gate but shape. Black clothes, black beekeeper's hat, and as his glove smoothed the veil, he welcomed us in a sort of stage whisper to the Valley of the Moon, built with the love and spiritual assistance of many. And he let us in. The children walked with partners, the teacher watching for stragglers or hazard. I was assigned to Antonio, the boy she mistrusted most. The path climbed to shoulder-high alps of cement encrusted with broken crockery and bits of glass, junk mosaics capped with figures. A chipped chalkware Snow White gathered her glittered skirt, looking forward eagerly from her high-collared cape as if everything were about to be delivered to her. At the mouth of a little cave, the children were instructed to dig for pennies. They kicked to dig for treasure. They kicked till they found pennies in the sand, and the teacher asked if they were meant to keep them. The old man told us to speak softly, if at all, because we were coming to a place of great serenity. And he led us down a curving stair into a two-story grotto he'd hollowed out of earth. Weathered concrete seats ringed a washtub pool. A minor bird whispered in a metal cage. "Whenever you are troubled," the old man said, "send your thoughts here." The bird spoke a few phrases for us. Even Antonio concentrated on its black sheen, the old man's gestures. Water dripped along one wall, and I noticed how small his battered black shoes were on the ground he'd made himself. Everywhere around the rim of this one were other unfinished gardens, a world of things he might use to build them. "Your astral body can travel to the Garden of the Moon." Later, in a leaning circus tent filled with empty cages and Victorian photographs of fairies, he performed a little lame magic, which the children liked best, along with the pennies. Bouquets pulled from sleeves, a dove from a jiggling hat. The heir would never lift the veil enough to show his face. At the gate, he'd hand us each a business card stitched with a scarlet sequin, printed with the motto, "The key to the fairy treasure house, up, up in the valley of the moon." And we'd file onto the bus where the driver waited, reading a magazine, and flash our brilliant souvenirs in the windows all the way home. But in the magic tent, when a real snake emerged from a basket, and a winged glimmer slid down a wire and landed in a bloom of smoke and sparks, Antonio forgot himself enough to hold my hand and lean forward like the statuette of Snow White with that same breathless look.